Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. So happy to have a good friend of mine and a colleague of mine and someone whose company I've enjoyed immensely. Summer Hinton from the Bank of Montreal joined me this morning. Summer, good morning and congratulations. Summer is a new mom to a beautiful baby boy named Wyatt. What brings Summer to my podcast this morning is she recently had a baby boy, as I said, and she'd written this wonderful article on LinkedIn, on a LinkedIn page, about what women go through when they're thinking about having children, when they're thinking about their career, and when they're thinking about their career and having children. And I had just recently had a conversation with a member of my family talking about that, and I thought it was really important to sort of shine a light on it. But before we go there, when did you and I first meet?
It's been 5 years, Jim. It was in 2017. You and I met in the Starbucks in FCP.
That's right. And I remember when we first met, I remember the time, and I remember thinking, God, this woman can go toe-to-toe with anybody. She's smart. She's fun. She's hard-assed. She's soft. She's everything.
You flatter me, Jim. I like to think of it as adaptability. And an understanding of people.
and absolutely. But you also do it in a way that you never lost yourself. Later on, I had the pleasure of spending some time and working with your husband as well, who was an absolute delight. And, you know, it's funny because I never really thought about whether you would have children or you didn't have children. And yet I was so excited that you ended up having a child and had such a great career at that point. To that point, not to the end, but that you were going to embark upon both of those missions. And then when I read about, you know, how you felt and how you thought and how supportive BMO was, I just thought, you know what, I have to share this. Tell us a little bit about your background and then take us to the point of, I've got a hell of a career, I'm making a lot of money, I've got a lot of accolades, I've got a lot of this, and I'm going to have a child. We're going to have a child. What you go through when you go through all of that.
First, thanks so much for having me, Jim. Like, this means a lot to be able to talk about this, especially given the reach that you have. Like, it matters to a lot of women and it matters to a lot of men. So thank you. So a little bit about me. I probably don't fit the standard mold of financial services. I grew up on a small family farm in Idaho. I always knew I wanted to live in New York from the time I was like 5 or 6. And so I started to head east as soon as I graduated high school. I am the first in my family to go to university. I did my undergrad at Northwestern in biomedical engineering. So I started out deep, deep tech in biotech. I love building things. In many ways, I think I was always built to be a COO. And then I did my grad work at Wharton. So I always like to say I'm on my third career. I always used to say third career. Now I say fourth career. My first career was in biotech, working in labs. My second was as a software developer. And then my third has been in financial services. Once I moved into banking, I started out at a hedge fund, found my way to BMO at the height of the financial crisis 13 years ago. And now my fourth career is mom. I know that sounds cheesy, but man, I'm finding out as a 6-week mom, it is more than a full-time job. It is definitely a profession. So how did my husband, John, who's an amazing partner, how did we come to here? So we actually wanted to have kids for a long time. And I think this is something too that women don't talk about that much. And it was hard for us, quite candidly. It took us a long time. I continued to pour just a ton of energy into my career because I love what I do. In many ways, it makes me who I am. It makes me a better person. And I love the people that I work with. But then in the background, you know, we were going through this really big thing, trying to build our family for many years. And then it happened for us. During the pandemic, it happened for us, which was this really extraordinary experience, but also a very isolating experience, right? Because you can't have the normal thing. You create this sort of pod of the 2.5 of us. And then 6 weeks ago, our little boss Wyatt was born, and now we're a team of three. But for me going through this and continuing to advance in my career, particularly over the last few years at BMO, it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle and it feels like you have to make choices and trade-offs every day. All the while, you kind of have this split, almost a split personality, which doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right in that run-up to motherhood to not be able to bring everything to the table. And part of it was me, I would say, was my own preconceived notions of how people would react. Because the reality is, the moment that I told Dan, who heads capital markets, the first thing he did was throw his arms in the air and cheer for us. That was his immediate visceral reaction when I told him. And from then it was just like, of course, like part of this was in my head. Part of it is not the same thing for everyone. But until we start talking about these things, you don't get through them. Like you just don't know what will happen. And I know my experience is non-traditional and it's unique and it's special. And I feel so freaking lucky, but it's got to be better. Like we all have to do better for everyone around us.
Much of my podcast and as you know, much of my coaching is what is the fear? You know, what are you afraid of? You know, as I often say to people, I know people are afraid of getting the answer they don't want to get, but at the end of the day, it's probably the answer you need to get because you're paralyzed up until that point. Not being a woman makes it hard for me to understand that fear, that moment of paralyzed. I have this wonderful news and I'm so excited. Oh my God, what's going to happen with my job, my career when I tell them?
I mean, to put it on the hard line, there could have been real economic consequences to my family and me. I'm the primary breadwinner. My husband has a great career, but I bring home the majority of the income. And I'm in financial services. A lot of it comes from bonus. So had it gone against me and people mistakenly thought, geez, she can't pull her weight anymore, then that could have had really real economic consequences to me, that judgment. You know, then there's the professional judgment, which stings more than anything and has future consequences. So it was, you know, I would say it was a combination of those two things, the real hard impacts, as well as the softer impacts to my pride and who I am. Like I said, my job is a big part of who I am, and to be seen as being less than or inadequate because I'm growing a life was just really painful. But of course, but neither one of those things happened. But I can see how it would feel that way.
And you're a strong person. And so my point being that even someone as strong as you, as well positioned and with a lot more power in what you're doing, still had the pause, still had that, okay, I'm going to have to tell them. And I genuinely don't know. I think, because I also know Dan as well, I think he's going to respond really well, but there's that shadow of a doubt, right? But what about the person that's way down the line? Their fear, and I've seen it, and by the way, I've seen the uglier side, which is men who sort of go, oh my God, I can't believe she's going to take 9 months off. And I'm like, it's not 9 months off, my friend. They would trade to be back at the office in a heartbeat if they could.
That would be a vacation.
It would be a vacation, right? And that's what people don't quite appreciate is when you're at work, it ain't 24/7. And when you're at home raising a toddler, it is 24/7. And how do we help? I mean, obviously, one way is to talk about it, but how do we help women understand, you know, as you said earlier on, when we were talking about traditionally, you know, if you go right back, it was, okay, I'm going to have a child. That's it. My career is over. I'm going to go sit at home. And then we kind of moved to, no, I'm going to kind of hand him over to a nanny. I'm going to work, pick him up at 5 type of thing. And as we've evolved over time, and I think especially now that people can work at home, which, you know, has benefits and drawbacks as well. But, you know, you said to me, why does it have to be either or? Why can't we find a place that works for everybody, right?
Exactly. Like, I you know, it's unrealistic to think of people being in one box or the other. Either you're a mom or a parent that works and has a career, or you're a mom or a parent whose career is at home. Good Lord, it's not a vacation being at home. You know, and I think that that's sort of the next frontier that we have to evolve to. Like now it feels like we've gotten pretty good at recognizing that working parents and working mothers can have careers, but we expect them to put their kids in daycare and to have full-time nannies and still go just as hard as they would have, for example, pre-family. you know, if I can fall back on the pandemic example, I think that the pandemic has really exposed how fragile that system is, how fragile that professional and corporate system can be. And the best companies have recognized that and created more flexibility, whether it's in terms of support systems, just more flexibility in terms of job creation, job sharing, change in job duties, change in job timing. But I think there's a lot more work that needs to be done if we believe as a society that it's important that we have this sort of bring your entire self to your entire life, which I mean, I personally think that brings out the best in everyone. And I would say generally that's the attitude of BMO and like the real belief of BMO. But it can't just be women putting up their hands and saying, I'll be brave. There's got to be expectations on the side of the company that's normalized. But it has to start with women up their hand and saying, this is what my life is. And this is how I'm proceeding, because otherwise it's just a culture of silence. And we have no way of reacting to it and making sure we've got the right systems in place and the right consequences for management that doesn't support those systems and embrace them.
It's interesting because I expect one of the great fears of many, many women is, okay, I leave and is my job back? Have I lost my momentum on my own professional track? I know a number of people that have gone on sabbaticals, men that have gone on sabbaticals, and they've come back and their job isn't there, or someone else has taken it and they're sort of like, well, I thought they were going to hold it for me. I just recently, probably because we were having this conversation, I said to someone, well, you're just like a woman who had a baby then. You must live in fear of, you know, not at a senior level, but even at a senior level, am I going to have my job? Like, am I going to get back? Are they going to say to me, well, you know, you were gone. We kind of had to do this, like that fear, right?
Oh, I live in that fear constantly. I mean, 10 years ago, we would have called it FOMO. I'm moving on, but the world is moving on and my job is moving on, because I couldn't have expected everything to pause simply because I wasn't there. And so in good faith and good conscience, Dan and the leadership team and I made a choice to make sure that there was someone in the job that could drive the progress that we need. But yeah, of course, I worry all the time that I'm missing important things and that I'll come back. And this is like, it's such a woman thing. I worry, well, I'm going to come back and they'll go, they don't need me anymore. You know what? We moved on. We found someone better. We found something better. Here's a little job off to the side because we owe you one legally, but we don't need you anymore because I wasn't there. You know, it's part of that is that deep-seated confidence issue that so many people have. A lot of women have it, but you know, all you can do is push past it. That's all, like at this point in time, all you can do is push past it. And the reality is that that's not going to happen. I'm not going to show back up. And people say, well, we don't need you anymore because I've built an entire career, as have other women, created a ton of value and have a lot more value to create. So you just have to put those things aside.
Everybody's got their own fears. I can sympathize, but I could never empathize. For me, having worked with so many fantastic women over my career, like Sue Storey, Michelle Savoy, Mona Malone, Karen Collins, all of these incredible women, sometimes it's hard as a man to think of all of you as having those fears, if you know what I mean. It's not that I don't believe that you do. I'm not trying to minimize or anything else, but we all see you as such strong women, right? And from our side, it's of course you'd have a spot, and of course this, and of course that. Just because we see it that way doesn't mean that you necessarily feel it that way. And I think the important thing for people to understand, both men and women understand it because they feel it, they live it. And men need to understand that they can't diminish that feeling, that fear, and that we have to do everything in our power. And there just isn't enough to sort of get you over that fear until the time comes. In the end, you realize, okay, I know I was afraid, but it worked out well, right?
Well, I think that's true. But I think it's not exclusively men too, because I know I've been guilty of that before with colleagues and folks on my team that have had kids and gone on maternity leave and have expressed, I think of them as kind of these 3 a.m. fears, that you're up in the middle of the night and you're worrying about all these things. And this is one of them. You know, these extraordinary women that have become only stronger and better because they have families have expressed this to me. And my immediate reaction is probably the same as yours, which was, that's insane. Like, you're so good and have so much going on and so much potential. We can't freaking wait for you to get back. But in reacting in that sort of visceral way, it does almost belittle how they're feeling, even though the intention that you have is so positive around, God, you're so great. We need you. So I do think that there's that bit of like that empathy that has to happen, because I'm on the other side now and I feel it. I feel it firsthand. And to all the women that I have done that to, God, I'm so sorry.
And I think people in general have a greater tendency to deny women their feelings when they say, I'm feeling this way. Oh, no, you shouldn't feel that way. And I always say, no, don't tell me how I should feel or I shouldn't feel. It's how I feel. Understand that part and let's deal with it from that moment, right? Don't try to dissuade me from, I'm wrong for feeling the way I am. Let's deal with the way I feel.
Yes, or to try to fix it for me. I mean, yes. God bless you, man. You're such fixers.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes you just need to feel it.
So are you doing some work? What's your current status besides, and I mean professional work, not parenting work? Have you just dropped everything, or where are you in the process?
Well, for the first, I'll say, 3 to 4 weeks, my husband and I have been drinking from a fire hose. So the two of us are home on parental leave together, and we decided to do it together. So we didn't bring in outside help because we said, look, we've worked so hard for this. We want to savor every moment. My parents have just left though. So for the first 3 or 4 weeks, we're really drinking from a fire hose, and BMO, specifically Dan and Deirdre, and Brad, who's doing the COO job, said, we don't want to talk to you. You can talk to us after the first month. You can come up for air and we'll talk about how you want to engage and what you want to do over the next 6 months while you're on leave. But we don't want to hear from you at all. So those of you that know me, I'm a bit of a workaholic. So I just love to know what's going on and I love to be engaged. So that was really hard for me. I would say in the meantime, it's been exhausting, but wonderful to have the time to engage and really read a lot and really think about and understand and dive into what's happening around the world. I don't always have the time to read the news and really digest it. And so it's been bittersweet, and it makes me feel even more fortunate that we are where we are and we are who we are, seeing what's unfolding in the Ukraine, for example. And so I followed that very, very closely. I would say is where I've spent a lot of my time. And then my husband and I do a lot of nonprofit work. And so it's been time to really focus on those sorts of strategies as well and get things cleaned up in different areas of the things that we do that we just haven't always had the bandwidth to do. So we've kept busy. I would say I've worked probably at a tenth of what I would normally do. And it's been on other things that are more of a labor of love. But now, we're getting couple hours of sleep at a stretch at night. So I'm feeling like a new woman here. So I'm going to touch base this week with the folks at BMO and see what's going on.
For those of you that don't know Summer, I'll tell you, her working at a tenth of her capacity is like someone else working at 120% of their capacity. I just wanted to correct one thing that you said earlier. I think you said I was made for these COO roles. And in the time that I've known you, I would say that you're made eventually for a CEO role, and that you could easily lead and direct an organization. And I've had 45 years of experience and I've seen a lot of great people, and you are a remarkable human being, a remarkable woman, and now a remarkable mom. I am so happy that you came to share your story, yours and John's, and especially to also talking about how hard it was to have that child. Because so many people, even the person I was talking to the other day said, I don't know if I can afford all the medical stuff to be able to do it. It's not cheap. I was actually quite stunned at how expensive it was. I know how expensive it is to have kids because I have 6 of them, but the having them part absolutely shocked me. For my listeners, I encourage you to pass this on to any other women, men, anybody who needs to hear the story. I encourage you to go to Summer's LinkedIn page. She articulates it extremely well. Having children has been the blessing of my life and the best thing in my life, and has been my constant source of strength and inspiration. I can't wait to start working for you once you get back.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. As always, I just appreciate our relationship and your guidance so much. And for the love of God, thank you for calling me out on the CLO thing. That is why you are fantastic.
All right, everyone. The podcast is Be You. The world will adjust. Bye-bye.